Our text this evening is Psalm 34, verses 9 to 22. I'll read to you the whole psalm and then we will go into the study of verses 9 to 22. Psalm 34, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Now in our study of Psalm 34, last time we said that the title of the psalm tells us the background of the psalm. Psalm 34 verse 1, a psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away. So this title connects the psalm with David's dangerous experience with the Philistines in Gath. And this is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 21 verse 10 right up to chapter 22 and verse 1. And from Gath we see David fleeing. He flees to the cave of Adullam. But out of this experience in Gath, David shares with us four instructions in this psalm. Four instructions to those who followed him. And we can learn so much from these four instructions. What are the four instructions? Number one, bless the Lord. Psalm 34 verses 1 to 3. Number two, seek the Lord. Psalm 34 verses 4 to 8. Number three, fear the Lord. Psalm 34 verses 9 to 16. And number four, trust the Lord. Psalm 34 verses 17 to 22. Now we looked at two of those instructions last time, and now we will move into verses 9 to 16, and then verses 17 to 21. Number three, fear the Lord. Psalm 34 verses 9 to 16. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward the cry. His ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. In verse 7 of Psalm 34, we read, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Again in verse 11, Psalm 34 verse 11, Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord dispels every other fear. Every evil fear is dispelled when we fear the Lord. When we walk in reverential fear of the Lord. When we live in reverential fear of the Lord, we will take God's word seriously and we will obey Him. Psalm 112 verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. So when we fear the Lord, we will delight in His commandments, we will desire to obey the Lord. And when we walk in the fear of the Lord, we will also experience the fact that God provides all that we need, and when we need it, He will give it to us. Psalm 34 verse 9, Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him have no lack. For those who fear Him have no lack. Now this is the Old Testament equivalent to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, where Jesus tells us, Matthew 6 verse 33, But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Psalm 84 verse 11, For the Lord God is a sun and shield, the Lord bestows favor and honor, no good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. So when we walk in the fear of the Lord, God promises to give us what is good for us and to cause all things to work together for good. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Then what happens when we don't receive what we think we need? It means that it isn't good for us. It's not good for us, and therefore we don't get it. We don't need it at this time. Now, at this time, David may have gathered the children and the youth around him to teach them the secret of real living. That's why he says in Psalm 34 verses 12 to 14, What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. He's called the children around him. And he's telling them, Come, O children, verse 11, Come, O children, listen to me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And so the children and the youth are around him, and he's teaching them. He's teaching them the secret of real living. The Apostle Peter quotes verses 12 to 14, in Psalm 34, verses 12 to 14, which I just read to you. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Peter quotes these verses in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. David gives us the secret of real living. Number one, he says, desire what is good. Desire what is good. Psalm 34 verse 12. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? To love life here means to desire a full life. This is the abundant life Jesus gives. Jesus came to give us this life. In John 10 verse 10, we read what Jesus says, The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And this kind of life has little to do with possessions. It has little to do with possessions. It has little to do with status or fame. This abundant life has a lot to do with character, with faith, and a desire to fear the Lord, honor Him, and serve Him. So such a man seeks the Lord, and he wants nothing less than God's will for his life. Let's look at Solomon. Solomon, he had all the wealth, he had knowledge, he had fame, he had power, and yet you find Solomon writing, Therefore I hated life. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verses 17 to 20. So I hated life. The King James Version says, Therefore I hated life. Because what is done under the sun was grievous to me.
For all is vanity and a striving after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool, yet he will be master of all for which I toil and use my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun. So he says, so I hated life. He had everything that was needed. He had so much of wealth, he had knowledge, he had fame, he had power. And yet he says, I hated life. I hated life. The first step toward abundant life is to cultivate a heart that desires what is good. This is a heart that delights in the Lord. Psalm 37 verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So this is the first step toward that life that overflows with the blessings of the Lord. And the second is, speak what is true. Speak what is true. Psalm 34 verse 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. If we can control the tongue, we can control the body. James chapter 3 verse 6 says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. So if we can control the tongue, we can control the body. But the fact remains that no man can tame the tongue. That's what the Bible says. It's an unruly evil. It is full of deadly poison. James chapter 3 verse 8. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. In the book of Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 23, we read Proverbs 21 verse 23. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 15, we are told, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. No man can tame the tongue. Only the Holy Spirit can tame the tongue. So it is so important for us as believing Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is mandatory to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit takes control of your life. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, which is debauchery, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's mandatory. It's a command. We are all called to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means being controlled by the Holy Spirit. So to speak the truth in love, we must be controlled by the Holy Spirit. To speak nothing evil, it is not easy. In today's competitive, corrupt world, it is not easy. So unless the Holy Spirit takes control of us, we can't tame the tongue. In fact, we can't tame any part of our body unless and until the Holy Spirit takes control. So we can speak words that are truthful. We can speak the truth in love. It can be done by those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice David's prayer. Psalm 141 verses 3 and 4. Psalm 141 verses 3 and 4. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart incline to any evil, to busy myself with wicked deeds in company with men who work iniquity. And let me not eat of their delicacies. So, desire what is good. Speak what is true. Pursue what is right. Psalm 34 verse 14. Psalm 34 verse 14. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. It's interesting. The New Living Translation says in Psalm 34 verse 14. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. This means abandoning sin once and for all. It means doing good as God gives strength and opportunity to do so. It means being a peacemaker and not a troublemaker. Believers don't seek peace at any price. No, we don't do that. Because true peace depends on purity. True peace depends on purity. James chapter 3 verses 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. It is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So true peace and righteousness go hand in hand. Isaiah chapter 32 verse 17. Isaiah 32 verse 17. And the effect of righteousness will be peace. And the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. You see that the effect of righteousness will be peace. So righteousness and peace go hand in hand. So as believers, we must make every effort not to make enemies, but at the same time, we don't compromise on truth. Matthew chapter 5 verse 9. Matthew chapter 5 verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Romans 14 verse 19. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Strive for peace. Pursue peace. Don't go around with a revolver in your hand. You know, that's sad to see. Many believers are like that. Learn to forgive people. Don't be bothered by every trivial slight and don't get caught up by everything people say. Pursuing peace means working at it with the help of the Lord, not in the strength of the flesh. That's why we need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So, desire what is good. Speak what is true. Pursue what is right. Expect what is best. Number 4. Expect what is best. Psalm 34, verses 15 to 16. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. We must live by faith, trusting the Lord to guide us, to take care of us, and help us to do the right thing. We need not fear because his eyes are upon us. So we live by faith. We live by faith, trusting the Lord. Psalm 32 verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. His eyes are upon us. And his ears are attentive to our prayers. God's face is against those who do evil to us. And this promise is illustrated in Acts chapter 12. This promise is illustrated. Peter was in prison. He was awaiting execution. King Herod seemed to be having his way. Acts chapter 12 verses 1 to 4. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to 4 squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. But what happened? The church was earnest in prayer. The church was earnest in prayer. Acts chapter 12 verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. God saw Peter's plight. He heard the prayers of his saints and he delivered Peter and destroyed Herod. Now after Peter was delivered miraculously from prison, he comes to the house of Mary, the mother of Mark, where the church is praying. Acts chapter 12 verse 12. When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. You see, amazing things happen when God's people pray. God fights our battles for us. He will deal with the wicked people. And he knows how to deal with them. We don't have to take vengeance into our hands. God will avenge. God will deal with them. Amazing things happen when God's people pray. And that's why it's so important for us at these times, in these troubled times, to spend time in prayer. You know, the church is being persecuted so much across the nation. In these difficult times, persecution has just escalated. Apart from the COVID, so many have been persecuted. So many pastors are actually, so many have lost their lives. So many have become widows and orphans. So many pastors have just been killed. Many are living in the jungles. Persecution has increased so much. So when God's people need to pray, we need to pray. So let's remember the four instructions. Bless the Lord, Psalm 34 verses 1 to 3. Seek the Lord, Psalm 34 verses 4 to 8. Fear the Lord, Psalm 34 verses 9 to 16. Finally, trust the Lord, Psalm 34 verses 17 to 22. Psalm 34, 17 to 22. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. David does not say that the life of faith will exempt the child of God from trouble. No, he doesn't say you won't have persecution. He doesn't say that. But David tells us that if we trust God and call on him, the Lord can see us through all these troubles, and he will turn those troubles and trials into triumphs and blessings for us and for the church. Psalm 34 verse 4. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Again verse 6. Psalm 34 verse 6. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 17. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Verse 19. Psalm 34 verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So God promises to help us when we go through troubles. All he wants us to do is to trust him. Trust him. Psalm 28 verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults and with my song I give thanks to him. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 6. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? God is also able to help us with our feelings. Psalm 34 verse 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. The assurance is that God is near us. When our hearts are broken and our spirits are crushed, don't forget, God is near us. This is true, whether we feel like it or not. Now, this is not a promise with conditions that are attached to it. No, this is a fact. Psalm 119 verse 151. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Psalm 147 verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He's not only near to a born-again Christian, he lives in us by his spirit. We are partakers of his very nature. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1. Isaiah 61 verse 1. The spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Now Jesus knew that this prophecy from Isaiah 61 concerned himself. So he goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he reads from the scroll of Isaiah before he begins his ministry. This is the first thing that he does before he begins the ministry. Luke 4, verses 16 to 19. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." You see, the Lord will take care of our physical safety until our work on earth is finished. Psalm 34, verses 19 to 20. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken." Now the Hebrew word here for keep, it actually means to exercise great care. To exercise great care. That's what that word keep in Hebrew actually means. Adam was to keep the garden, meaning he was to take care of the garden with great care. Genesis chapter 2 verse 15. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and keep it." And this was how Jacob cared for the sheep. Genesis chapter 30 verse 31. Genesis 30 verse 31. He said, "What shall I give you?" Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it." And keep it. That's how he looked after the sheep. The Apostle John quoted Psalm 34 verse 20 and applied it to the Lord Jesus. John 19 verse 36. John 19 verse 36. "For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, not one of his bones will be broken." The bones of the Passover lamb should not be broken. The bones of the Passover lamb should not be broken. Exodus chapter 12 verse 46. "It shall be eaten in one house. You shall not take any of the flesh outside the house, and you shall not break any of its bones." Numbers 9 verse 12. "They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any of its bones, according to all the statute. For the Passover they shall keep it." The final real Passover lamb is none else but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. John the Baptizer points out to him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." In John 19 verse 36 we read, "For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, not one of his bones will be broken." Psalm 34 verses 21 and 22, "Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned." You see, the Lord is able to keep our enemies in check. Their own evil deeds will destroy them. You don't have to take any vengeance. You don't have to take any revenge. Their own evil deeds will destroy them. Sin is its own executioner. Sin is its own executioner. Psalm 7 verses 14 to 16. "Behold, the wicked man conceives evil and is pregnant with mischief and gives birth to lies. He makes a pit, digging it out, and falls into the hole that he has made. His mischief returns upon his own head, and on his own skull his violence descends." Psalm 9 verse 16. "The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment. The wicked are snared in the work of their own hands." So sin is its own executioner. Proverbs chapter 5 verse 22. "The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin." The wicked are condemned, but the righteous face no condemnation because they trust in the Lord. Romans 8 verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Romans 8 verses 33 to 34. Romans 8 33 to 34. "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." God delivered David from all his enemies and from the hands of Saul. David was delivered. In fact, David was delivered like Israel was delivered from Egypt. And this same God is able to deliver us, His children. All that we are called to do is to just trust Him. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must entrust ourselves to Him. In fact, as believers, we must entrust 5 burdens to the Lord to receive blessings from Him. And I'm going to go through those 5 burdens. 5 burdens we must entrust to the Lord so that we can receive blessings from Him. Number 1, trust the Lord with your frustrations. Psalm 34 verse 17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. You know, sometimes we bring trouble on ourselves, just like David did. He stepped into enemy territory and that was asking for trouble. The only safe place to be is in the center of the will of God, not on the periphery, not on the outside of the will of God, but in the center of the will of God. Sometimes other people cause our troubles. Saul did that often to David. Saul caused David trouble. Now God allows these troubles in our lives to refine us, to prune us. And when we have troubles, we need to pray for His help and we get close to the heart of God. He's always near to those who have a broken heart. Number 2. So number 1, trust the Lord with your frustrations. Number 2, we must trust the Lord with our feelings. Psalm 34 verse 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. You see, David was repenting of his sins and his heart was broken. God respects that attitude of brokenness. He's always near to those who have a broken heart. Number 3, we must trust the Lord with our future. Psalm 34 verse 20. He keeps all His bones. Not one of them is broken. The word keep, remember, as I said earlier, it means to exercise great care, to protect. When Jesus was on the cross, the devil was doing his worst. Yet, the devil could only do what God had permitted. The devil could only do what God had permitted. God was guarding His own Son, and He will guard us because He is concerned about our future. He keeps all His bones. Remember Psalm 34 verse 20. None of the Lord's bones were broken. He keeps all His bones. Not one of them is broken. So the devil could only do what God had permitted. God was guarding His own Son, and He will guard us because He is concerned about our future, and we must trust Him. Number 4. Trust the Lord regarding your enemies. Psalm 34 verse 21. Affliction will slay the wicked and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The wicked will be slain by their own sin. So give your enemies to the Lord. Let God be the judge. Do not take vengeance into your own hands. Number 4. Trust the Lord with your failures. Psalm 34 verse 22. Sorry, number 5. Trust the Lord with your failures. Psalm 34 verse 22. The Lord redeems the life of His servants. None of those who take refuge in Him will be condemned. The word condemned means to be held guilty. David had sinned against the Lord. That was the cause of his broken heart. But God rescued him and forgave him. When you became a believer, you trusted Jesus as your Savior and He saved you from the penalty of your sin. He also broke the power of sin over your life to set you free so that you can serve Him. So we need to entrust our lives daily to God. We need to entrust our burdens to Him and receive the blessings of the blessed life He has for us. Remember the words of Jesus. John 10 verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?